I'm sorry, I'm not reading the gospel yet. They're short. We'll just read them both. Okay. We haven't had a reader in a while, but I'm still... Okay, the first reading comes to us from Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Now I'll read the gospel. The gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Hello.
Hi, Sue.
Hey, Mark.
Guess why I'm calling?
You just baked a chocolate souffle and you want me to come over and eat it with you.
No, but you're kind of on the right track. I'm calling you with a God question, kind of.
Oh, how the tables have turned. What do you want to know?
At church last Sunday, some of us got into a topic of climate change and global warming, and some said they were disappointed that the church wasn't talking about it more. Someone else said it was ironic that people outside the church seemed to care more about the environment than those of us in the church. So I was curious, do you have any reaction to that?
Oh, help me understand what that person thought was so ironic.
I think he meant that as people of faith who believe in God created the world and that the created world is a good gift from God, that we would have a very specific reason to be concerned, but he doesn't see that happening. Instead, people outside the church who don't have any God connections to the environment seem to care more.
I need to begin by saying that even though I'm concerned about climate change, I can't really say that I've done much of anything about it. But I do know other non-church heathens like myself who really do care and are actively making changes in their lives and advocating for societal changes.
If you had to speak for these other non-church heathens, your term, by the way, what would you say motivates them?
I'm sure there's a bunch of different reasons. I assume some people just see it as a practical necessity. If things keep going the way they are, what kind of a world are we going to be leaving our children and grandchildren? And I also know that a lot of non-church people have a deep love for the natural world, even if it isn't tied to God in any way.
I'm sure that's the case. Let me ask you this. Have you heard anything positive, negative, or just plain crazy from us churchy people concerning climate change?
To be honest, I don't think I've heard anything about church people and the environment.
That's what I was afraid of. I mean, I guess it's good you haven't heard anything crazy from church people about the environment, but I wish it were a topic that we were talking about in a way that would be helpful.
So what do you think church people could say that would be helpful?
We could say more clearly what I said before, that we believe that God's creation is a good gift. I think it would also be correct, or at least clarify, that line in the creation about a story about God giving us human dominion over the earth. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember a Bible study that talked about how Christians have misused and abused that idea of having dominion. Instead of dominating and controlling and doing whatever we please with the earth, it was supposed to be about caring for the earth. Well, thanks for giving me the non-church person's viewpoint.
Oh, no problem. It's kind of fun speaking for an entire group of people.
Maybe next time I'll call you about the chocolate souffle.
Oh, sounds good. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, Sue.
So, I'm going to be honest. I was a little stumped by today's topic. What about the environment? Particularly in that whole changing the story thing. I talked to a variety of people and I couldn't get a clear-cut answer of what the story currently is or the story that we grew up with. I heard kind of what they were saying in the dialogue, that it's just not something we hear a lot about at all. But I definitely wasn't getting that strong dominion over the earth, meaning that the earth is just at our disposal to use and discard as we please. That wasn't the strong message that I was hearing from people that they knew or heard or had even grown up with. I do think that message existed. I do think that it had a really negative impact historically, but I'm just not sure when it went away or what it was replaced with. I did some internet searching because I thought, well, maybe it's still really strong and prevalent in the more traditional churches and the evangelical churches. That's where I remember hearing it occasionally in my past. But I was really pleasantly surprised when I did these internet searches. I found that even these more conservative evangelical churches were changing their story and were talking a lot more about caring for the environment and especially rooting it in Scripture and why Scripture compels them to care for the environment. So that was a very nice surprise. And in that searching, I also found this group that I didn't have a lot of time to research, but I don't know if any of you are familiar with a group called BioLogos, which is actually founded by a scientist, and they address a lot of issues of faith related to science. And I do think they have some connections with more evangelical churches, but I'm not positive on that. But I found this really great article, Why Should Christians Care for Creation? Out of this BioLogos group. And I'm just going to read a couple sentences from the introductory paragraph of that article. It says, "As bearers of God's image, all people have the responsibility and privilege of caring for God's creation. Christians in particular should be motivated by Scripture. We ought to love and care for the earth because it is God's very good creation, and because we must care for the most vulnerable people on the planet." And I thought that was so good because it raises two really important pieces of this. One is that idea of being created in God's image, which comes from our reading today, and I'm going to talk more about that. But also this idea that care of creation is also care and love for our neighbor. Because when the environment isn't cared for, it has the most negative impact on those who are most vulnerable on our planet. The poorest people, the most vulnerable people. It results in food shortages, pollution results in more cardiorespiratory distress, there's more conflicts and war over limited natural resources. Also, climate change amplifies problems that are already prevalent in our world, such as refugee crises, hunger, air pollution. All of those things are increased when we don't care for God's good creation. And like I said, they impact the most vulnerable. So care for neighbor, love of neighbor, which is one of our number one callings as Christians, is intimately connected and combined with care of creation. And then that first bit about being created in God's own image, that's from our reading today, right? Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. It has so much packed in there. One thing is it lifts up this plurality, this diversity within God's own self, the community that exists within God. There's conversation and dialogue here as God decides to create humanity. And then that is reflected in the very creation of humanity, as we, all of us, are created in God's own image. So that diversity within God is reflected in the diversity of humanity. So this rainbow of difference within the human species, within the human race, is a reflection of God, God's own self, which I love. And that same passage carries within it an inherent blessing for each and every one of us in our diversity, that however we are uniquely made, it is a reflection of God, because we all are a reflection. Together, we reflect the many facets of our God. That has always been my favorite part of that passage, and it's core to my own sense of self and my own sense of self-worth. No matter what negative messages I may get or that I might even say to myself, I can always fall back on the fact that I am good and beautiful and worthy, not only because God created me, but because God created me as a reflection of God's own self. I bear that image. But in the context of today's topic, what about the environment? That reflection of God is also an incredibly important passage, because God created humankind in God's own image, and then it goes on to talk about, I don't have it in my head, but to have dominion over everything, right? So we're put in place, this reflection of God, we're put in place on the earth for this purpose, to bear God's image, to reflect who God is in our dominion of the earth. And it talked in that dialogue again about the misuse of this word dominion. And yeah, there's a lot of conversation about how that word's translated and what that means exactly. But I think what's most important is when we think of it as an extension of God's dominion. So how do we understand God's dominion? Do we see God as exploitative and domineering and self-serving? Or do we see God as compassionate and loving and caregiving, who wants what is best for creation? What does it mean to be an extension of God's dominion? That's what changes the meaning of that word. So then the more complicated question is, how do we do that? How do we care for the environment in a way that is a reflection of God's dominion? So in my internet searching, this is not how I normally write sermons, but it's what happened this week. In my internet searching, I also found the ELCA's statement on the environment, which is an extremely lengthy, which they usually are, and complicated statement, which I'm sure most of you haven't read, because it is sort of tiresome to trudge through it all. But it's because it is a complicated issue, and there is no short and sweet, simple answer. In the ELCA's statement, it addresses issues of stewardship. issues of loving our neighbor through care of creation, issues of loving and respecting God by caring for what God has made. And it gets into the complexity of how difficult it is to balance all those pieces, how we care for people by utilizing the resources without exploiting the earth in a way that's detrimental to us and to the earth. It is complicated. It is not easy. But what does come through clearly is that care for the environment is an important part of our faith. So how do we change the story? Well, like I said, I'm not sure what the story currently is. I think the dialogue got it right, that the church and people of faith aren't talking about it much. Perhaps the story is one of silence. If they're talking about it, it's one of social justice and concern, but not in connection with issues of faith. So I think the change is to have our faith be an important part of the conversation about our care of the environment, to bring scripture and this long-lasting story of God's care for all creation, God's deep and abiding love for all that God has made. And to remember that God created us, each and every one of us, in God's own image, instilling us each with value and with worth and also with purpose, inviting us to participate in God's ongoing love and care for all of creation. So I do not have answers, but I invite you all into the conversation. I invite you all to change the story by telling the story, talking about the story, wrestling about the story with one another in terms of our faith, in terms of our faith story in Scripture, in terms of God's call on our lives to care for one another and for all that God has made. Thanks be to God. Amen.